November 24, 2021, is the Watt for Pedro show.
The situation of the younger musicians now, they don't have that opportunity to play together.
Yeah, this certainly needs to be done. It should be happening all the time. And the men would develop sooner.
And gratitude leaks out the orifice held tight, rubber bullets, bullet ballots, bullies, malice, no push, kings, kush, dawns of the handmaids, tall tales and fables made, look, to a kneecap on the aorta, cap and excuse placed in the daughters, flags wave, cobalt lines across the strain through the flames, mask off, future exclaim, mask on for the lingers and lames, the younger can survive, Naranya explained. The emperor's new, the AG concludes that it's not a lack of fabric, it's your eyes that you choose to believe. Hopes dashed on the body cam, not recorded napalm on your sleeve, IED in the scene. A simulated simulation, salam alaikum, yalla. Y'all loafing, I'm cloaked in a fine raiment. Detaining cuffs going live for the place where races hide in plain sight off the op-ed pages. Stages set, I bequeath or beget these lessons passed down decades, no less, say less. Pray hands, stay blessed. My passport stamps beg for the next. Just waiting for the borders to open. And I'm eloping to the motherland. Land 40 acres of feeling safer. Liberty begged me to take her. I can't, shorty. You too high. And your peoples is haters.
Walk for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Started off with John Coltrane talking to Frank Kosky, November 1966. And then Holy Ground, Melvin Gibbs. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me Melvin Gibbs. Welcome aboard, Melvin.
Oh, thank you for having me, Mike.
Absolutely. And big credit for Stevie Bono for making the connect.
Yes, definitely. Thank you, Stevie.
Right. Now, I'm interested big time. You know, I'm a little prejudiced towards bass, but your journey through music in particular, I'm curious. So try to let's start with your earliest recollection you still got.
Of music in general?
Just music in general, right.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing that sticks with me now as a grown man is just riding in the car going to see, you know, either my aunt or my grandma or my dad's relatives, you know, other relatives, and just hearing, like, you know, regular radio in the car. Those are my kind of, like, earliest reminiscence of music, you know, New York Top 40 or R&B or whatever, you know, those kind of things.
We're talking AM radio, right?
Talking AM, yes. This is like, you know, what was the New York station? WABC was the,
okay,
was the main one.
And I think it was KJ here in SoCal.
Yeah, that was the one. And, you know, other than that, the other big thing is, like, especially, well, there's a few things. Especially my aunt is thinking about music. You know, she lived in the South Bronx in the literal, like, Fort Apache.
Oh, yeah.
And what they used to do back in those days is they would have parties, like, behind, in the, I guess the best way to describe it is an alley, but it's, you know, we would think of more of, like, you know, as a little kid, you think of it as a park, but when you look at a picture, you see it's like a bunch of bricks and, you know, it's like the South Bronx devastation, but they would take the South Bronx devastation and they would stick their stereo out there and, you know, they would plug into like whatever electricity they had, like coming out of the basement or coming out of the supers area. And they would set up speakers back there and have parties and stuff. And my aunt was a big blues fan and the people on her block, they were into like soul jazz, so it would be stuff like either B.B. King or Cannonball Adderley, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Those are the things that kind of stick with me from childhood.
Pad, you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
Oh, no. I mean, the irony of this is that both of my parents are deaf. My mom was basically completely deaf and my father wore a hearing aid so he could hear and speak. But they actually met in deaf school when they were kids. Having said that, you know, dad always had a stereo and he listened to records. But the thing that's really interesting about that is that my mother and her friends were all really great dancers.
Ah.
And deaf people throw dances all the time.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Because, you know, so it's kind of like, so I always tell people, quite, you know, probably subconsciously, one of the reasons I became a bass player because that's how deaf people dance, because they feel the vibrations of the music.
I was going to say, you know, that bass is probably felt more than it's heard.
Yeah. So that's what they would dance into the, you know, the vibrations, sure, of the music. Sure. So those are like the early memories, you know.
And what was the first record you bought with your own money?
Two records on the same day. Super Bad by James Brown, oh, yeah, and My Favorite Things by John Coltrane.
Oh, wow.
Those are the first two records I bought.
Wow. How old were you?
I don't know, 12 maybe.
Okay, because you know when you're little, you ain't got a lot of money, so it's trippy to see what people would buy with the first. And what was the first gig you saw, Bill?
Graham Central Station.
Yeah, Larry Graham.
Yeah, Graham Central Station.
Oh, man, I got a Larry Graham moon bass. 1996,
wow.
Yeah, made in Tokyo, you know, it's kind of like a jazz, but it was made, it's the one he played with Prince.
Wow.
The Earthquaker, yeah, and stuff, oh man, that guy, I love, yeah, him, as sly, but Grand Central Station was good too.
Yeah, the thing that I took away from that is I wasn't playing music yet, it was a few more years before I picked up an instrument, but the thing I remember seeing him and thinking about, I have to do all of that? I gotta play that good and sing that good and write those songs. I was just kind of like, I don't know, you know.
But some of the fly stuff, there's some good econo licks, right? You know, I want to thank you. Bum 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 bum. I just love that, man. The ride's going on that record. The bass,
yeah, that's
so
amazing,
killer. Man.
Amazing stuff.
Right. I mean, maybe Louis Johnson got more with the popping and slapping, but I think Larry got it going. And maybe it came off of rockabilly Remember when they couldn't carry a drummer like Bill Black?
Slap
the string against the neck, right?
Well, Larry tells the story of how he came up with it. He used to play in church, as you know, a lot of us came up. I didn't actually come up that way, but my family has, you know, I have family with church.
Oh, yeah, a lot of rock and rollers.
And he came up in church, and I don't know if the church didn't have a drummer or the drummer quit or whatever. So it was just kind of like necessity. They needed rhythm, so he just started slapping, and that's how it started.
Yeah, I heard the same thing with kick drum with Earl Palmer. Little Richard couldn't carry a bass man, so Earl Palmer, because kick drums used to be just for bombs. They never held the beat stuff without notes on the bass, right? So he completely redesigned that thing. It's trippy how, like you said, it's a practical thing.
Yeah.
The necessity. Let me ask you about grade school. Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
I was actually in the choir. I sang Barry in the choir, and in school, you know, growing up in Brooklyn, I didn't sing in church, you know, because, well, that's a whole nother story. But I was when I was a kid, I was in the school choir, and then middle school, I was in the all Brooklyn choir, and I didn't, theoretically, I should have gone on to be in the all city choir, but, you know, I discovered things that teenagers discover and didn't. You know, I had better things to do with my time than go to choir practice by that time.
Sidetracked by reality.
Yes.
That's okay.
You know, learning how to sight read and all of that as a little kid. I mean, my reading still kind of sucks, but the fact that I sang Barry turned out to be helpful later on because I could, you know, I kind of knew the notes and stuff when I decided to switch over the bass.
Yeah, but tell me why the bass?
Well, you know, I came up, you know, in that era where, you know, the funk era, and I lived in the neighborhood where I lived, grew up in Brooklyn. There's a lot of Caribbean, you know, Afro-Caribbean community there. So you come up listening to funk and reggae and salsa, and, you know, my grandma, my aunt in the Bronx listening to salsa, you know, all of that is the bass is the main instrument and all of that.
Yeah, it's big time. And it's melodic, too.
Yeah, so that kind of really influenced me. But I always tell the story that I was also, you know, once I got into the age where I could kind of get my own money, I became like a really big record collector. You know, there was so at a certain point, it was a question of, okay, do I want to be a DJ or do I want to be a bass player? And those were kind of my two choices. And I always tell, you know, the story, the story never gets old. One of my great mentors, who I actually started off playing congas, that's my first instrument.
Ah, congas. Okay.
Yeah. That was my very first musical instrument because of, somebody who lived in my building who was just very influential in my life. And, you know, because of congas, I learned how to play, like, the Latin music, and I got, like, the rudiments of African music playing the congas. And after playing congas for a while, I went up to him and said, you know, congas are okay and everything, but I really either want to be a bass player or a DJ. And he said, you should play bass because there's no future in DJing.
Yeah, his crystal ball might have been a little foggy because some of those cats make a big coin.
Yeah, well, the moral of the story is your mentors aren't always right. But and bass turned out to be the right instrument for me, so I don't regret it.
All the paths lead to Dell, right?
Yeah.
It's trippy. You gave me this a lot of good stuff, man, but this one's called Get Some, I guess, from the new?
Yeah, from my May 25 record, yeah.
Listen, I told her come and get some. You don't really want it. Get some. You don't really want it. Get some. Y'all really want it, get some. Y'all really want it.
It's the ambassador. More like Pastor Troy. I beseech ye, brethren, y'all can get destroyed. National Guard, the passionate mob, the khaki fanboys is all deployed. Big Floyd rest with the angels. They finally convict some, but we still on the danger. For to get that one, two more, get that gun, three more lies, tree born lies. My fruit dangle at the angle, we don't need more signs. They don't recognize until they convicts. With the COs catching the honey seats inside. Linen sheets and ties, all for 9 minutes of clout. We ain't finished, thin blue lines, 30 minutes. Tasers ain't guns, murder was intended. Body cam, the eyewitness. It's all trauma, circle back, it's all karma. Well past the margins, I speak without commas. My punctuation is highly graded, Eclipse Banana. For them alphabets, I'm holding in my basement. CDs, new neighbors ain't strangers. We out at the ranges. Send a mask for the silence class, for the shadow band. We know about shouts in the islands. We know about all black dollars, Oklahoma, Wall Street, and Georgia farmers. Black steel in an hour, KR's, hay balls. 2 minutes, Shawshank. We ain't tenants, the Green Mile. No magic, niggas. We ain't sick, you sick. We ain't tricked, you get. The rabbit got the shot in, he don't miss. Remember his foot on your keys, good luck with it. Till they unload the ratchet and your life be fixed. Cause you can come and get some. You don't really want it, 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 want it.
only talking about flowers.
Only talking about flowers.
One day in March of the new decade.
gone, but he said, hey man, on the syllabic explosive of your choice, what's going on? Standing there stupid with your hands in your pockets, pretty soon it'll all be gone. Want to smell the air, look around, son, don't step on the rack. Cause every little hair on the gray blank carry your Achillea in nothing flat. Can you hear that ticking sound? Satan's saying, come on down. The guy with the beard, he was right after all. Now the end is in sight, get ready to fall. You can hang on the edge, you can jump in the hole, but you've traded your soul for gold. Man, they're selling salvation from the trunk of his Cadillac. A pinky ring preacher with a voodoo solution to your grandpa's heart attack. Just give him all your money and your watch and your wife so the healing can begin. Now bend right over and repeat after me. Yes, Jesus is my friend. Can you hear that thunder sound? Oh, judgment day is coming down. A guy with a beard, he was right after all. Now the end is in sight. Get ready to fall. You can hang on the edge. You can jump in the hole. But you traded your soul for gold.
dance. Want party? I wanna get down tonight with the D-Fox. I wanna dance. Want party, hottie? Wanna get down tonight with the D-Fox. I wanna dance. Want party, hottie? Wanna get down tonight with the D-Fox. I wanna dance. I wanna party, hottie? Wanna get down tonight. I want to dance. I want to party hard. I want to get down tonight. I want to dance. I want to party hard. I want to get down tonight. With the D-Fox. I want to dance. I want to party hard. I want to get down tonight. With the D-Fox. I want to dance. I want to party hard. I want to get down tonight.
Tell you that the way you look at me is what's keeping me silent. I live for you, but you want me to drop dead. I live for you, but you want me to drop dead. I won't stay when everyone is leaving. I want to keep you in my view forever. I live for you, but you want me to drop dead. I live for you, but you want me to drop dead. I'm so hot, but I have to keep cool. I'm so out, but you're keeping me right here. I live for you, but you want me to drop dead. I live for you, but you want me to drop dead.
Party hardy. tell you that the way you look at me is what's keeping me silent. Live for you, but you want me to drop dead. Live for you, but you want me to drop dead.
Show that chunk of music started out with Melvin Gibbs doing Get Some, the few from her new record. Snow and Pollen is a trippy album. New decade. Check it out, people. Juan's Dover, I got to share the stage with him in Denton a couple weeks ago, and he made a whole album about, you know, almost dying in the hospital, made songs about it. So this is CTS Scan. Cedric Noel's got a new album, Headspace, Joyful Noise record. Bombs Prendon out of D.C. with Minutes to Spare. It's About Time. Brand new from Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore. Lagoon Moss, Rubber Mass. This is the fourth volume, Part A3. Brand new from Uri Geller out of England with B and Ho. And finally, Defunct with Defunct. Great tune. Great sound. So, okay. How did you get your first bass?
I went and got a job. I was working in a butcher shop, cleaning up a butcher shop.
Yeah.
And then I saved up the money, and I hopped on a Long Island Railroad and went out to the mall and bought a Kingston bass amp and a Kingston bass.
Oh, wow. I remember those.
Yeah. So that was my first little thing. And I always say, those Kingstons, I think they designed those to weed out who really wanted to play music and who didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, William Tell, you know, you can use doubles as a bow and arrow.
Yes.
The action between the strings. Yeah, you can put your whole head in between the net fretboard and the strings.
Yeah.
I rode on the Long Island Railroad once. Well, actually twice, because the first time I couldn't find it. Find John Coltrane's grave in Pine Lawn.
Yes, I actually played out at his house.
Wow.
They have a jazz festival at his house every year, and I guess 2 years, well, whatever year before everything shut down, I played out there.
Dix Hills. And then yes. Pine Lawn's the next stop. And I thought I could just find it, but there's thousands. So I had to go back, and I found a gardener, and he showed me. It's in the Garden of Sanctuary.
Well.
And when I was 40 years old, right, because that's when we lost him, his age. Franz Kafka, Edgar Allan Poe, 40 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we made it past.
We did make it past. And that cat squeezed in a lot of music for us. Wow. I got on it underneath Madison Square Garden. I guess it's the old Penn Station.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no. Long Island Railroad leans out of Grand Central Station.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, the Penn Station got destroyed, right? It got tore down or some shit.
They built a new one. I haven't actually. They rebuilt it again. I haven't actually taken Amtrak since then, yeah, but there's just a whole new thing, and they, you know, they put Madison Square Garden on top of it years ago.
Yeah.
But now they just did another rebuild, and I haven't been there yet.
Okay, shows how ignorant it's California. No, yeah. It gets me.
No, but you were correct. The timing is just a little different.
Okay.
Yes, but they did rebuild the station. Yes.
So when you get that Kingston amp and that Kingston bass, is it man alone, or do you find a teacher?
Well, this is the story. As I said, you know, I actually started playing music because of a person who lived in the next apartment to me, who was a really great percussionist. And he introduced me to a good friend of his, a man named Vic Colucci, who nobody knows about, but who was a really great musician. I'll tell you a little more about him later. But simultaneous to that, there was also a bunch of the older jazz musicians of Brooklyn, well, older, you know, relatively speaking, they were still middle-aged. They were younger than I am now when they were doing this. But, you know, as to a, you know, 14, 15-year-olds, everything is older.
Oh, yeah.
So they had decided to get together. That was, you know, the 70s, the time of, like, you know, black empowerment and community building. And the musicians had decided to get together and teach the kids to play the music. There was a bunch of really great jazz musicians teaching the kids of Brooklyn how to start. And I was, at that time, I was still playing both electric and acoustic bass. I bought the electric first, but then, you know, as I worked, I continued to work, I bought an acoustic as well. And
by acoustic, so, are you talking like the stand-up, or are you talking like the acoustic guitar?
Okay. No, stand-up, like a regular, like, you know, like so, jazz bass, like a jazz
like a giant,
bass.
Like a giant violin without the chin part.
Exactly, like Ray Brown or, you know.
Actually, I got to see Mr. Ray Brown a few gigs at Catalina, me and Pettibone.
Yeah.
Oh, incredible cat. And like three feet in front of you, also Cecil McBee. I saw a lot of good bass players at that.
Oh, no, Cecil is the greatest. But the since we're talking people at that level, the person who taught acoustic bass to actually was my first bass teacher was Reggie Workman.
Oh, wow.
Reggie was teaching the kids in the neighborhood how to play. So
he's
he was my first bass teacher.
He left from John Coltrane's bands.
Yeah.
He's still going, right? Is he still making
music? He's still making music. He's still doing stuff. He has a band. You know, he still does stuff. He teaches at the new school now, so he's teaching those kids.
Okay.
But he was the first, my first actual bass lesson was with Reggie Work. And then, you know, contemporaneous with that, I was studying electric bass with Vic Colucci, which is important for another reason, but also the bass player, the electric bass teacher at the Muse, was a woman that we used to call Miss Lucy. Her work name is, I believe her work name was Nora Lee Jones. And she was the wife of Larry Lucy, who was Count Basie's guitar player.
Wow.
And she's between Reggie and Miss Lucy. They're the ones who started all of us off, you know, all of us Brooklyn bass players off. So I got to always shout out to both of them.
Oh, yeah, and yeah. Vic, much respect. Can I ask
Vic
you,
was it? Go ahead.
Paul Chambers.
Oh, Paul Chambers was, you know, an incredible guy. You know,
yeah,
that,
was he an
I
influence
mean,
on your playing? I know he was gone by
well,
now.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, as I said, the first record I bought, one of the first two records I bought was, you know, my favorite thing. So obviously Jimmy Garrison and Reggie were very important. But, you know, so what is... You know, that was one of the, you know, that's like required learning if you're a bass player. You know what I mean? So,
and John Coltrane wrote a song called Mr. PC.
Exactly, because he's just an amazing bass player. You know, there's so many great acoustic bass players from that time, you know. But yes, he's mandatory.
What was his name? Oscar Pettiford?
Pettiford is another great one.
Like, he's the foundation guy, right? Everybody comes from that kind of school.
Well, the foundational bass player for all of us is Jimmy Blanton, who played with Duke. Because, you know, if you listen, when I decided, okay, this is actually what I'm going to do, I did this whole thing of going through the whole history of the bass, you know, going back to like listening to, you know, African traditional records and listening to which things are in all of the musics.
Okay.
And when you listen to Jimmy Blanton's bass playing, and you listen to James Jamison's bass playing, you hear the commonality. You hear James's licks come directly from Jimmy Blanton.
Well,
so it goes all the way back
James,
to Duke.
Different James than Carole Kaye or Joe Osborne, cats I like, but they're guitar players that switched over to get the work.
Yeah.
James comes from the stand-up.
Yes. Yes, and I was watching, I think it's on YouTube somewhere, where his son was, like, in the house playing his father's bass. And it's one of them, like, real, like, hard, you know, it's like the Kingston bass version of a, it's like the strings are mad high. Insane. But, yeah, okay, it's interesting you mentioned Joe Osborne, because I was going to talk a little bit about Vic. Vic is the one, he actually got me into people like Joe Osborne. He made me learn, like, Tapestry album. He said, you're going to be playing these songs 1,000 times and all of that. He really gave me a lot of my foundation. And the thing that was interesting about Vic was that not having anything to do with the person that we know for this, he had taken the frets off of his bass.
Oh, yeah.
And he was playing jazz standards on them.
Wow. You know, the other cat that people don't talk about either is Bill Wyman did it early.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the person we're probably talking about gets all the credit.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, we love him to death.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
of course.
It's like we love Jackie to death.
Robert found his face and got it back to his family.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, that's great. Beautiful. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know how much, I'm not going to tell the whole story because it's, you know, whatever. I just heard the story. But when I first moved out of my parents' house,
Melvin, can we hold it? Because we're at the end of the first hour. Can you start the next hour off of this story?
Sure.
Thank you. It's November 24, 2021, edition of What Pedro Show, special guest Melvin Gibbs. Hold tight for hour two. November 24, 2021, it's the second hour of What for Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro show started second hour up. Sonny Chirac Band, my song. Then Bootstrappers, there's some sharing. Unchanneled. James Twig Harper, Rubber Old Cement with Kidney Choke Clean Stimulo Twist. And then finally, Harriet Tubman, Redemption Song. It's one of your new bands. It was great. It sounded great. And Sonny Chirac, people off air, we were talking about, well, Melvin actually got to play with him and stuff, but I did get to share stage with him maybe 30 years ago, and he talked to me for like an hour and a half backstage. He's just so beautiful. And, yeah, he's not credited on him, Jack Johnson, Miles Davis. But
no, he's like there.
Saying, yeah, if you know his style, you can hear him all over the place.
Yeah, and I always tell people, it's like, it's funny that you talk with him, because I was in his band for 4 years, and I believe we had two rehearsals. The whole, we had one rehearsal before we went in the studio to record the album that my song is on.
Yep.
And then we had another rehearsal somewhere along the line that I don't remember. But the way to understand Sonny was to listen to his jokes, because his timing was exactly how he played. So it was really about conversing. So basically, you had a Sonny Chirac Band rehearsal backstage with him.
Wow. Now continue with that story.
All right. Well, this is a little inside baseball, so the bass players will appreciate this.
Yeah, I was saying. Walker Pedro show, okay.
I was saying when I moved out of my parents' house, I moved in with a good friend of mine whose house was the center of music in that part of Brooklyn. It's the same house where Living Color had their first rehearsals.
Whoa.
My friend is also one of the main graffiti artists, old school graffiti artists in New York. And it just so happens that a lot of the great ones are from my neighborhood, including a guy who back then used to call himself Samo, that everybody knows is Jean-Michel Basquiat.
Yeah.
So I met him at this same house.
Damn.
So after I finally got up enough money to like get my own apartment,
yeah.
This bass player who had just came up to New York from Philly moved into my, well, he hadn't just come up because a friend told me he had been living somewhere else first. But anyway, this new bass player from Philly moved into the room I was living in, a man named Victor Bailey.
Oh yeah.
So Victor moved into my room and Victor was living there. And then, you know, Victor had gotten the gig, you know, got the gig with Weather Report to replace Jocko.
Yeah.
And he still hadn't moved out yet because he was gigging so much that he didn't have time to like get his stuff together and get his own place, whatever. So he was still living in the house. And as I said, the house was kind of the music center of that part of Brooklyn. So it, you know, why move? Anyway, one of my other friends, I just heard this story from one of the other guys who was living in the house. He said he came down. He heard the bell ringing and he came downstairs and he opened the drawer and Jocko was standing there.
Damn.
And I said to him, "You let Jocko in?" He said, "Yes."
Uh-oh.
So, and meantime, Victor was upstairs sleeping. Yeah. So basically they were trying to like, you know, wear Jocko out so he would leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, but eventually, you know, Victor just woke up and they came downstairs and he was kind of like, you know, he kind of went at Victor like, "Hey man, you're the guy who's supposed to, you're the guy who's supposed to replace me." And Victor said, "Hey man, there's no way I'm going to replace you. I'm just going to do me, you know?" And that kind of sort of calmed Jocko down. But
you know, Jocko, what? Before Jocko, there was a Czech dude, right? Vitas.
Miroslav Vitas.
Yeah, right. Miroslav.
Who was actually in Herbie Mann's band with Sonny, ironically enough. So,
it all goes around.
It all goes around. So anyway, yeah, I mean, the point being is that we all love Jocko to death, but he was a very unique individual and, you know, you had to know how to handle him. Great guy. I love him to death though. Yeah, you know, yeah. We all loved him.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So, first gig with the Kingston amp, Kingston bass.
Country music.
Yeah.
I was taking lessons from Vic, and you know, I guess I took lessons from him for about a year and a half, and I showed up to my lesson as usual. And one day he said, "Okay, no more lessons. You have a gig."
Oh fuck.
And I guess he was just tired of doing this gig, so he handed off this country music gig to me.
Okay.
So I learned the song, which was really important because I learned all the Patsy Cline songs, Crazy, and you know the early Willie Nelson stuff. I learned all of that, so I have all of that. I mean, the thing about country music is that, yeah, all the songs are simple, but there's always a little thing in there that differentiates it that you have to know, otherwise you're gonna mess the thing up.
It's subtle. So anyway,
I did this gig, and it was funny. There used to be this place. It was in this Irish bar called O'Lenny's that may still be open up on the Upper East Side. And it was funny because, you know, I set up kind of right near the door.
Yeah.
And it was country music night. And people would come in, and the first thing they would see would be me. And they'd be like, huh?
Charlie Pride.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I'm going to play something here. Go ahead, Bill.
So that was the first thing, you know, and then, you know, I started doing stuff around the neighborhood. As I said, I started off on percussion. So, you know, and it was a Caribbean neighborhood. So I did a lot of the various music of the Caribbean, did a lot of, you know, salsa gigs.
Yeah.
I heard in the tradition, like
in Cuba, this cat was telling me he was helping the Beastie Boys. They put you on clave first. And then it's like a sushi chef, right? You're cutting, cleaning. Until you're ready, you're on the clock. Some dude's like 5 years on the dink, 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 dink.
Well, fortunately for me, I lived in New York.
Right, you skipped. You got to skip some grades.
I got to skip a few steps.
Yeah.
So
I want to play something you gave me from Hank.
Okay. Good.
Sitting in my room in your prison doing time. Fires on my windows cause you're not so good at crime. You're standing on the corner with nothing in your head. A shirt on your back and a gun in your pants. Thinking you're the man but you're only a standing. Standing in line to be the next bad guy. I see what you do when you do what you got. But what do you do when you do what you want? You're so civilized. You get brutalized. You're so civilized, man. I see you get cut down. Get in your mind off some guy's record. He makes his money off fools like you. Thinking about killing like it ain't no thing. But you do the time when you're living for real. Man is way from your death row cell. You're the last one to speak. You got sold out. I hear you say you ain't paid so much. Then why the hell do you act like one? Because you're civilized. You get brutalized. You're so civilized, man. I see you get cut down. You're so civilized. You get brutalized. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So civilized, man, I watch you get cut down.
I wonder what you're like without the gun. I'd like to see when you're not hiding behind the gun. How you would live your life without the gun. Cause I know how I live mine because you've got one. Yeah. Cause that's what it is. Hide behind the gun. You take life, you're just another pig to me. You think you're different, but you're just another pig. Yeah, a pig, yeah. You gotta have a gun, then you're just another pig to me. You think you're different, but you're just another pig. You gotta have a gun, you're a pig to me. Just a pig to me. You gotta have a gun, you're just another pig to me. You got a gun, you're just another pig. You're so civilized. You get brutalized. You're so civilized. A gun in your hand makes a fool out of you. Oh yeah. A gun in your hand makes a target out of me. Oh no. Freedom, you need your freedom. You want your freedom. Your freedom is killing you, man.
davanti la ventana, utilizzando il no esenciado que está asociado con nuestra empresa. Les pedimos que no tengan contacto con estas personas y favor de reportar cualquier problema al personal informado dentro de la empresa. Gracias por votar en GMPNB Market. Tenga un buen día. Welcome to Arco GMPNB Market. We would like to advise our customers that any individual who offers to pump gas, watch windows, or solicit products is not employed by or associated with this facility. We discourage any contact with these individuals and ask that you report any problems to uniformed personnel aside. Thank you for shopping at Arco AMPM and have a pleasant day. Welcome to Arco AMPM Mini Market. We would like to advise our customers that any individual who offers to pump gas, watch windows, or solicit products is not employed by or associated.
Thank you.
Started off that chunk of music, Rollins Band, Civilized, then Godspeed You Black Emperor, Storm, and Socially Brium. That's a word, a name. Then Holiday. A little pun rock, right?
Then. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So let me get that. Socialibrium.
So, yeah, okay. Socialibrium.
Yeah,
that's real easy if somebody says it first.
Yeah, well, it helps. It helps, you know, because you wouldn't guess. You know, it's one of those names.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, like these projects, like Harriet Tubman, that's an ongoing thing, right?
Yeah, Harriet is ongoing. You know, we actually got some money from Jazz Rhodes. Thank you, Jazz Rhodes. And our next project is going to be a collaboration with the great George Ann Muldrow.
Wow.
So we're going to do some stuff with her. And we have a tour coming up in the fall, the trio. We're going to play Big Ears, you know, whenever that is in March next year.
I think we're going to share stage. I'm helping Mike Baguette in MSSV.
Oh, great, great, great. So, see you there.
Okay.
Sure. That looks great. Yeah. All right. So, there's a story that I have to tell.
Bring it.
And I've told you this to your face, but I want everybody to hear it.
Okay.
All right. The worst concert I ever saw and one of the best concerts I ever saw were both in the same night.
Whoa.
And I honestly can't remember why I was there, but I was in Minneapolis. I believe, if I remember correctly, I was playing the Walker Art Center with Ronald Shannon Jackson.
Wow.
And we had gotten there a day early, and I was kind of like, well, what am I going to do? And I was kind of like, okay, what's happening at First Avenue? And it was kind of like, okay, the Replacements are playing. So, which was the big local, they were like the kings of Minneapolis at that time.
Sure.
So it was like a sold out show, and I finagled my way in there, and I'm in the show, and I'm watching the show, and I'm like, wow, this band sucks. They are just the worst. I mean, sorry to all the Replacement fans. They might have made great records, and dude might be a great songwriter, but live, they were trash. So I just really got disgusted and left. And then I noticed, okay, there's another space in here.
Yep.
So I said, okay, let me go see what's happening in the other space.
7th Street Entry.
Yep. And I went in there and I saw one of the greatest concerts I ever saw. And it was a little band called the Minutemen. Y'all blew me away that night.
Oh, man. Much respect.
I just wanted to say that public on record so people hear it.
That's very, very kind of you. I remember, you know, that's where the Husker Du recorded their Land Speed record, too. A lot of history in that little unit, little room. Well, I'm glad we did it for you, man. Playing with D. Boone and George Hurley. Incredible for me. Incredible.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour. November 24, 2021. Just Watt Peters with special guest Melvin Gibbs. Hold tight for hour three. November 24, 2021. It's the third hour of Watt Peters Show.
Success is a funny word. Nightingale had a great definition for it. He said a person is successful if they know where they are, and they know where they're going, and they're progressively moving in that direction. He said that success was the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Anyone that has a goal, and they're moving towards it, they're successful.
Bye.
Show Star third hour, Invoke, Arno Lindsay. Then Rocks on the Ramp, Helvetia, they're brand new. Mamalik, The Hypocrite and the Concubine. Success from Scotch Rolex featuring Lord Spycart. Brother Shige, he's living in Berlin, but he went to Uganda and did some collabs with the electronic musicians there.
Oh, yeah. I love that stuff. The Yege Yege.
Yeah, yes. That's what it is. Man, yes. It's intense. I love it. So, yep. I Mam Dovolino Te Viaj. Sorry for ruining Slovenian, but they got the English here. I have enough of that moisture. So.
Okay.
And Trobokova Kushka Pesci is the name of the band. And then Zigzag Power Trio, Street Priest.
Yes.
Vernon. One time Vernon, it was trippy. I met him, and hey, someday would you teach me chess? And I'm thinking, Vernon Reed don't know how to play chess? Yeah, that was hard to believe. But Doug Wimbish is their bass man now.
Yeah, Doug is, he's been that guy for a long time. Yep. Vernon's one of my long time, we're like teenage friends. You know what I mean?
Wow. I'm actually that house, right?
Well, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Even, yes, he was the person whose house that was. He was actually in a band with him before that. And that's how we met. And then we had like a teenage jazz fusion band. He had a band called Point of View. I was a bass player in that.
Wow.
This is before we even started playing like in Manhattan and all this. That he's like, you know, he's family, literally family.
Wow.
You know,
he's an incredible musician. He's a super nice guy.
Yep. Yeah. And I chose that song in particular because that is a song written by Ronald Shannon Jackson.
Yeah.
And I'm the one, you know, who introduced him to Shannon, you know, because we were both kind of, I don't want to say we're the misfits, but I guess it's the correct thing. We were kind of the outliers of the neighborhood in terms of musical taste. And I had fallen into the scene in New York. And I thought it would be a good thing for him to kind of meet some of these guys. So, you know, he came to the gig and Shannon really liked him and put him in the band. And we got to go, you know, a few different countries.
You know what?
And then what?
I'm wondering, who took him to his first Bad Brains gig?
I can't take credit for that. I don't know how. You'd have to ask
him. You know, I was talking to Gary, Dr. No, and he told me he was the bass player when they were a jazz fusion band. Before Daryl. Yeah, before Daryl. I love Daryl's playing,
that.
Man.
I believe that. It's funny how all of this comes. There's a weird story of this is a bunch of interesting connections. I actually know about the Bad Brains because of Gil Evans.
Whoa.
Yes. And because time seems to be a little tight, I'll leave the front part of the story off. But anyway, I was up in Gil's apartment with a good friend of mine, Alfonia Timms, Alfonia was Gil's protege at that time.
Okay.
And Gil's younger son, Noah Evans, had a hardcore band called Frontline. And the drummer in Noah's hardcore band was Mackie, who was then in the Cro-Mags.
Right. Okay.
And Mackie came, you know, after rehearsal, we went up in Gil's apartment and I was chilling with Noah and Mackie popped this cassette. He said, you got to hear this. He popped this cassette into the cassette player and played it. And after about 30 seconds, I was just like, this is the greatest band that ever lived.
Yeah. You know, Adam Yauch told me he got to learn bass from Daryl. And then he taught the rest of the guys, Harvitz and Mike Diamond. Bad Brains are so key to a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And ironically, to that, the first time they played in New York was in this little place called A7,
right. That was their scene. I remember.
And I used to play in A7. I played in A7 every, can't remember if it was every Tuesday or every Thursday. We had a blues night in there with Charles Bobel Shaw of Bag. A lot of the avant-garde jazz guys had a blues night in there. So I was in there every week. So when I found out that Brains were going to be there, I was like, okay, I'm definitely coming to this. So ironically enough, me and Henry were both there, but we didn't know each other at the time. So,
man, what a trip! What a trip! Okay, you gave me this elevated entity, Melvin Gibbs elevated entity. I want to play Canto for
Oduduwa.
Okay, Oduduwa. Watt for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Start off Canto por Oduduwa. Oduduwa.
Yes.
Watt's a slow learner, but he's going to get it. Oduduwa.
Yep.
Melvin Gibbs, Elevated Entity. Then the Great Chicago Jam from Head Boggle. And finally, Body Meta Band. Horseflower Storm / Fabuloso. So let's talk about the 5 plus 1 equals 25.
Yes.
It came out last May, right?
Yes. Yes. It so happens that my birthday is May 25th. Oh. And 2 years ago on my birthday, you know, it's also the same day that Mr. Floyd got murdered.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So those things in my mind are intimately connected. And when it was the year anniversary, I was like, okay, I have to kind of do something to mark this so I can move on. So I decided to make sure the record would come out for that date. I had been spending a lot of time in Minneapolis. I was there, I guess I went there in June, and I spend a lot of time there these days for the obvious reason that people spend time in places where they're not from. And I spent a lot of time at George Floyd. Not a lot of time, but I spent, you know, a significant time at George Floyd Square, and the vibe there was just, I always tell people, in the beginning, the vibe there is a vibe that only felt really one other place. And that was in the Peace Square outside the area where the atomic bomb got dropped in Hiroshima.
Oh yeah.
It just really, so to me, that spot signifies the American Hiroshima. It's like, it's that level of combination of peace and angst. And I just wanted to make a record to capture that, because at the time I didn't really feel like any of the music was kind of up to the task, you know, because the traditional protest music wasn't working. And what people were doing in New York City was they had decided to repurpose the current hip hop, the current Brooklyn drill music, and they just changed the lyrics to George Floyd. And that's, so I decided, well, I need to make something that's kind of current to reflect that. So that's kind of what I did. And I got my good friend Kakai to come rap on it, and wanted to make something that was, you know, I call it uncle music, something that's from, you know, the older black men to our take on the world. And that's kind of what that record is.
Yeah. Can I ask you about that song, Alabama, John Coltrane?
Sure.
Is there a feeling in that? Like, it's only a title, right? But you can tell he's phrasing his horn like Dr. King.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's this thing where you're trying to really process the fact that, you know, the planet needs to move forward and people need to move forward, and they're just having a really hard time doing it.
Yeah.
But having said that, the thing that made me want to make this particular record that's maybe kind of different than what Coltrane was going through then was there's an anarchist term called TAZ, Temporary Autonomous Zone. And George Floyd Square was kind of a TAZ. It was kind of like this, in the beginning anyway, it was kind of this like safe space. So you'd see people come in from out of town, white people looking around, like, you know, kind of trying to wrap their heads around what they could have, what happened, and how they could be allies and how they could move things forward. It was a really different vibe there. So I kind of wanted to capture that because, you know, the first word of TAZ is temporary.
Yep.
It was going to go away, and it already has, but I wanted to really kind of capture the moment, the fact that, yes, America can rise to the level that we want it to rise to, you know.
Sure.
It might drop back down again, which it's in the process of doing, but I just really wanted to capture that combination, you know,
and Melvin,
the ability to face it.
There was another coincidence, too, about May 25.
What is it?
There was a new shipmate came on board.
Oh, yeah. Shipmate.
Yeah, crew member, right?
Got
named after you.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's trippy, the connections, right? Where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, they can find me I don't have a dedicated website. They can, the first place, they can come find me at Bandcamp.
Yeah, you have a Bandcamp site? Yeah.
Yes. Music.melvin.gibbs. Or just great. Melvin Gibbs at Bandcamp. Just, you can just plug
the
in the search at Bandcamp.
Right, right.
I need to shout out Northern Spy Records because the 4 plus 1 equals 5 for May 25 is out on Northern Spy Records, so I want to shout them out.
Absolute. And look, we ran out of time, so you got to come back on the show, please.
Oh, definitely.
You could talk bass forever.
Most definitely.
Thank you so much for being on the show, man. And thanks for making this record, too. Really important. People, it's been May 24, 2021 edition. Why, Pedro, should keep you tired or dry.